In the 40-plus years that I've been a member of this conference, numerous times someone has come up to me and said, "Don't you think this must be the end times? The world has never been in a worse shape than it is today, this very day." And that's been happening for 40 years. And in the church, it's been happening for 2,000 years, okay? Because those folks who wrote the Gospels, those folks who appear in the Gospels, including Jesus, those folks who wrote the letters, and of course the writer of the book of Revelation, all believed that God was going to arrive and was going to bring something new to birth. And here we are 20 centuries later, still waiting, still asking, is this the time? Is this the time? When will it happen? Well, I'm going to pose to you an audacious and a somewhat awkward question for the church. That question is, what if Jesus was right? You say, of course Jesus was right. Jesus was right about everything. Well, no. Listen, did you hear? Were you listening to Aaron Reed? This generation will not pass away until all these things have happened. Was he right? For 20 centuries, we have been assuming that Jesus got it wrong. That somehow Jesus, in his humanness, limited within history, thought that something was going to happen before it actually was. Heaven and earth will pass away, he says, but my word will not pass away. I want to explore the possibility that Jesus actually got it right. That heaven and earth as he knew it have passed away. The three-storied universe of heaven and earth and the underworld is no longer a part of our consciousness. If it is, it's an archaic and ancient part. We see the universe as this broad, expanding array of planets and galaxies. The world that the people standing around Jesus knew to be true passed away. It's gone. But we're still standing here talking about what Jesus said, aren't we? Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. What if, instead of this grand spectacular event that we have described as the second coming was something much more modest. And it did happen. Not it will happen, it did happen. And that tree, the fig tree and the other trees that Jesus was talking about as being signs are us. We are the ones who are supposed to be living out that kingdom that Jesus talked about. Or maybe in our time we should instead call it a kingdom. Some people use that word. A kinship. Because I know we don't have kings in this country. And even those countries that do have kings, they're pretty much figureheads anymore. But we know what it means to be kin, don't we? And in the blood of Jesus Christ, we are all blood kin. So maybe we are to be that fig tree. Maybe we are to be the tree that is the sign that Jesus' words will not pass away. Maybe instead of waiting for something else to happen, we should have been doing what Jesus told us to do all along. Maybe Advent is not so much about simply waiting as it is about participating in what God is doing in the world already today. And that the church is a sign of that. It doesn't matter how many times our conception of the heavens and the earth may change, and one may pass away, and a new one may take its place. The words of Jesus hold true, no matter what those conceptions might be of the heaven and earth. That leads me to a second question. This question, actually, I didn't get from Scripture first. A number of years ago, I met a one-eyed poet named Robert Creeley. And I had known his work previously, and I was particularly taken with one poem. It's a poem entitled Kore. It's about a kind of mythological, legendary female figure. But he ends it with a question, and that question has stuck with me across all these years. I probably met him in my mid-20s. He ends with this question: love, where are you leading me now? That's our theme for Advent. Love, where are you leading us now? If we are not being led by God's love, then what are we being led by? Fear? Mistrust? What if Jesus was right and we are the sign for the world of what it's like for Jesus' words to continue in the world? And what if asking the question, love, where are you leading us now, is the way we figure that out? Because after all, almost every story we will be telling during this season is a response to God's love leading someone somewhere, usually somewhere they didn't want to go. A girl, I'm not even going to say a young woman, a Jewish girl has a stranger appear to her and tell her she's going to have a baby, but she's not married. Let it be with me according to your word, she says. Where is love leading her? Not someplace she intended to go. Certainly not someplace her parents intended for her to go. Not someplace Joseph intended for her to go. Love, where are you leading us now? She goes to visit her kinswoman, Elizabeth. Nobody thought Elizabeth would ever have a child. Even her husband, Zechariah, couldn't believe it, and because of that, couldn't speak for a while. But Elizabeth's baby recognizes the baby that Mary carries, and Elizabeth recognizes the importance of where God's love is leading Mary, and her child is led too. Where is God's love leading John? It leads him out into the wilderness. It leads him into a lifestyle that at the very least is alternative. Right? It leads him to challenge the powers that be within his own denomination, within his own religious structure, to call them brood of vipers, to demand that if they have two coats, give one away. God's love was leading John into a very different place than it led Mary. But God used both of those and continues to use both of those to help us answer that question for ourselves. Where is God leading that refugee family that we call the Holy Family? The family that when they get to Bethlehem can't find anywhere to stay, won't have any place to stay because no one will take them in. There is no room in the inn. And in all of those little dramas where we've cast an innkeeper, there's no innkeeper in the biblical story, by the way. There's just no room in the inn. There is no room anywhere for them. I wonder why we don't pay more attention to that person or persons who actually found a place to take them in, who said, it may be simple and it may be rough, but you can stay here. And when that family become refugees in Egypt and have to leave because there is a wicked king on the throne threatening their lives. Does this sound familiar to anybody? Who welcomes them in Egypt? Who teaches them the language? Who finds them a place to stay? Who helps them settle, gets them started in Egypt so that they can protect the child as he grows until he is old enough to return, until the wicked king is gone? Where was love leading that family? Where was God's love leading the person or persons who took them in Bethlehem? Where was God leading those Egyptians who helped them acculturate and make a home in Egypt until the danger was past and they could return to their own land? Where was God leading those people? Now, we've heard these stories over and over and over and over again. That's one of the wonderful things about the Christian year, is that we get to tell these stories every single year. Why do we do that? Well, first of all, because they're important. And secondly, because we're forgetful. We forget what they're about. We think we've heard them so often that we already know what they're about. But I'm going to ask you this Advent, if you would, as you hear these stories read and sung, I'm going to ask you to raise that question. Actually, both of them. What if Jesus was right? What if Jesus got it right and we are supposed to be the sign of how God leads people through the world? We at West End, a sign to the whole culture, a culture filled with fear of the other, of hatred of the other, in which we can't even talk to each other like human beings. Where is God's love leading us in that? Where are we to be the fig tree, the sign, so that when people look at that tree, look at us, they say, ah, that's what it's like when you are led by God's love, rather than anything else in the world? So what if Jesus was right? And love, where are you leading us now? I don't have that answer, but together I believe that we can find that. And we're going to spend this Advent trying. Thanks be to God.